Please say a silent prayer. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, we start our hymnal session. Please sing hymn 381. 381. First stanza.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing it well. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth.
Second stanza.
He tells me of a Savior's love, who died to set me free. He tells me of his precious blood, with sinners perfectly. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Third stanza.
It tells me what my father have in sorrow every day. And oh, I tread a darksome path, you sunshine all the way. Oh, how I love Jesus.
Last stanza.
It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me.
Please sing the next hymn, 322. 322. First stanza.
To God be the glory, great things he have done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he have done.
Second stanza.
Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise. of God, the vilest offender, who truly believes that the blood from Jesus the pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he have done.
The stanza.
Great things he have taught us, great things he have done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But nearer and higher and greater will be a wonder of transport which Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, who thinks he has done, and give him the glory, great things he has done.
Please sing the next hymn, 380. 380. First stanza.
The world all about me has now no allure. Its precious bring pain, its wisdom is vain. I seek a foundation as steadfast and sure. I put Jesus first in my life.
Second stanza.
The Lord Jesus died my salvation to win. He went in my stead to Calvary and bled. Redemption impels me to give up all sin. I'll put Jesus first in my life. Strive by day and by night, true trust in his might. I'll put Jesus first in my life.
The stanza.
I know there's a hope for the ransomed and blessed. When death is no more, when struggle is o'er, for those who love Jesus and give him their best, I'll put Jesus first in my life. In all that I say, in all that I do, throughout I know. is mine. I'll put Jesus first in my life.
Fourth stanza.
Through earth's tribulations continue each day. Though pleasures may call, though evil and troll, His grace will protect me forever, and I'll put Jesus first in my life. In all that I say, in all that I do, throughout the world of toil and strife, by day and by night, true trust in His mind, I'll put Jesus first in my life.
Our hymnal session ends here. May all glory and praises be unto our Lord Jesus Christ's name.
Hallelujah.
Let us all say a silent prayer to prepare our hearts. Amen. In the name of Jesus, we shall commence with our afternoon Sabbath. Let us sing hymn 158. 158. We shall see the desert as the rose, walking in the King's highway. There'll be singing where salvation goes, walking in the King's highway. There's a highway land and a way where sorrow shall flee away, and the light shines bright as the day, walking in the King's highway. We shall see the glory of the Lord, walking in the King's highway. And behold the beauty of His work, walking in the King's highway. There's a highway there and a way, where sorrow shall flee away, and the light shines like as the day, walking in the King's highway. There the rain shall come upon the ground, walking in the King's highway. And when the fire from the way is near, walking in the King's highway. There's a highway land and a way where sorrow shall flee away, and the light shines bright as the day, walking in the King's highway. There no weariness we shall make the way, walking in the King's highway. For the purified the way is made, walking in the King's highway. There's a highway land and a way where sorrow shall flee away, and the light shines bright as the day, walking in the King's highway. No unclean thing shall possess or lay, walking in the King's highway. But the ransom once we bought a few, walking in the King's highway. There's a highway there and a way when sorrow shall flee away, and the light
shines bright as the day, walking in the King's highway.
We give thanks to our Lord. We shall kneel down to pray. In our prayer, we shall hand this service in the hands of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we will kneel down to pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. For our Sabbath worship, we will continue to discuss glorious church. We will discuss what worthy of the calling. Glorious church, walk worthy of the calling. Let us refer to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Here, the Bible tells us, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So, the other term we have discussed, glorious church, created in Christ. The church, it is the mystery of God in Christ. We can see the salvation plan. The church is the mystery of God in Christ. After that, the church is a plan of God in Christ. It is a mystery, it is a plan of God in Christ. And then we also see the church is the work of God in Christ. Is the work of God in Christ. God incarnate into flesh to become the Savior. So, the church is the mystery of God. It is the plan of God. It is the work of God. The church is created in Christ. So, here, verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Therefore, here the scripture wants to tell us, we are created for good works. We should walk in them. Let's see chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. So here, the Bible tells us to have a walk in a manner worthy of the calling which we have been called. Therefore, what is a glorious church? A glorious church is whereby the church is made up of individuals and family. Individuals and family make up the church. A glorious church is whereby everyone, the individual, the family, we walk worthy of the calling. So this has got to do, this walk has got to do with our conduct. That is the practice of Christian. How we conduct, how we walk. If everyone have a walk worthy of the calling, then the church becomes a glorious church. So here, in chapter 4, verse 1, Paul says, I implore you to walk, to conduct in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. Here, he used worthy of the calling. Let us see Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1, 27. Only conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. So here, now Paul says, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. Just now, worthy of the calling. Worthy of the gospel. Let's see Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all aspects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul here says, that we will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. So, to have a walk worthy of the Lord. Let's see 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. So that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. So, God has called us. He has called us into His own kingdom and glory. But then, we should walk in a manner worthy of God. Therefore, Paul called upon the church. He called upon every individual, every family, to have a walk worthy of the calling, a walk worthy of the gospel, a walk worthy of the Lord, a walk worthy of God. So, it concerns the practice of the Christian, our conduct. Let us discuss from the book of Ephesians. We were actually reading through the Bible. Let us see this from the book of Ephesians. For the individual, let's see from chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17 to chapter 5, verse 21. To chapter 5, verse 21. In this part here, we are able to see many instructions concerning the individual, how to conduct, how to practice to have a walk worthy of the calling. Let's see verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind. Here, Paul says, this I say and affirm together with the Lord. He say and affirm together with the Lord that we should walk, how to walk, no longer as in the past, in the futility of our mind. So here mentioned futility of the mind. So the mind has got to do with worldview, principle, concept, value. Everything that reflected in our life, in our conduct, have got to do with our mind, the worldview, the principle, the concept, and then value. Therefore then, Paul called upon the individual, no longer walk as in the past. So in this part, we are able to see he was calling upon to be a new man. Put away the old man, put on a new man. Let's see verses 22 to 24. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. So Paul called upon the individual to put off the old man, put on the new man. And it has got to do with renewing in the spirit of our mind, to change our worldview, our principal concept value according to teachings of Christ, according to biblical basis and not according to the world. So, no longer walk as in the past to become a new man. And then, if we see chapter 5, verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1, be imitators of God as beloved children. Imitate in which aspect? Verse 2, walk in love. So here, call the individual to walk in love. And then, verses 3 to 5, to walk in holiness. Verses 3 to 5, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. So this part calling upon the individual to walk in holiness. And then we are able to see from verse 6 to 14, walk as children of light. Verse 8, you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So to walk in the light, and then to bear the fruit of the light, that is all goodness, righteousness, truth. Whatever we do, our conduct, behavior, it should manifest goodness, righteousness, truth. To walk as children of light. And then, verse 15, 16, we can see, to walk as wise, to walk as those who are wise, to redeem the time, take the opportunity. Therefore, be careful how you walk, how you conduct, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, your opportunity, because the days are evil. So, in this passage, from chapter 4, verse 17, to chapter 5, verse 21, we are able to see the exhortation for the individual, how the individual should walk. That is to say, walk no longer in the old man. Put away the old man, become a new man. To walk in love, walk in holiness, walk as children of light, walk as those who are wise, redeem the time, taking the opportunity. Let us continue to see instruction for the family. The family. Church is made up of individual and family. If individual have a walk worthy of the calling, the church is a glorious church. And if the family walk worthy of the calling, the whole church become a glorious church. So what is the instruction for the family? We can see this in chapter 5. Chapter 5 verse 22 to chapter 6 verse 4. Chapter 5, 22 to chapter 6 verse 4. So this part of the scripture tells us firstly, husband and wife relationship. Husband and wife relationship. Verse 22. Wife, be subject to your own husband. 23. Husband is the head of the wife. 24. Wife ought to be to their husband in everything. Verse 25. Husband, love your wife. Verse 28. Husband ought also to love their own wife. Verse 33. Wife must see to it that she respect her husband. So here it tells us concerning husband and wife relationship. Very important. The head of the family, husband and wife, how that relationship should be. So the man is the head. The man must love the wife. The wife is to be subject to their own husband. In everything, verse 24 says, in everything means in the truth and will of God. In everything does not mean everything, but everything in according to the truth and will of God. So, if husband and wife love one another, the whole family will be blessed, blissful. There will be peace, there will be harmony. This is a blessed, blissful family. And then what more? The husband, wife, the whole family put Jesus as the head in the family. How they fear, revere God, walking in the teachings of the Lord, then this family will be glorious church. Let us also see parents and children. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Beside here, Colossians, Paul also have certain instructions, but similar. So here we can see the parents and children relationship. Parents is not to provoke their children, but bring them up in the discipline, instruction of the Lord. And then, how children must obey their parents, honor their father, mother. This is right. And then, of course, among siblings, brothers, sisters, they should live in harmony. Therefore, here, Paul instructs the family how the family can be a blessed, peaceful family. The family become a glorious church. Paul also discussed society. How should a Christian conduct in society? In chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. In chapter 6, verses 5 to 9. Here we are able to see Paul speak about members who are employer or members who are employee, how they should conduct themselves in the society. Verse 5, slave, be obedient to those who are your master according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart also to Christ, not by the way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slave of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. So, if we are an employee, how we should conduct behave? Submit to the employer. Manifest the goodness, beautiful virtue. Manifest the light of the Lord in us. Follow the principles of the Bible. And then we become the light in society as an employee. And then, as an employer, verse 9, masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven. There's no partiality with him. So how members as employer should treat the employee? Fairness, without prejudice, no partiality. And then to manifest the beauty of Christ in us. And then, so the church will become a glorious church. Therefore, here, there are instructions for how we should live our life in society. We are to glorify God in society, to become the salt and also the light of the earth. And then, instruction for the church. Instruction for the church. Let us see firstly, chapter 5, verse 23-24. Chapter 5, 23-24, and then 32. Here we can see the church. Let's see verse 32 first. Ephesians 5, 32. This mystery is great, but I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Here, Paul was speaking concerning husband and wife. Husband and wife. Therefore, Christ is the husband. Church is the wife. Paul here speaking, the mystery is great. I'm speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So Christ is the husband. The church is the wife. Therefore, what to do? Let's see verse 23, 24. Verse 23, lower part. Verse 24, upper part. Verse 23, lower part. Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the savior of the body. Verse 24. The church is to subject to Christ. So, here we are able to see, we members must subject to Christ just as how the wife subject to the husband, to obey, to subject to Christ. And then, in chapter 4, in chapter 4, verse 3 to 16, there are some instructions for the church. Firstly, verses 2 to 6 speak about unity. So the church, we are not divided, we are united. Verse 3, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, to preserve the unity of the Spirit, God's Spirit is one. God's Spirit wants to work in us, to unite us. Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So, the church, everyone must be united. How are we united? We are united in our common belief. Like verse 4 to verse 6. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all, through all and in all. What unites us is our common belief, what we believe. Therefore, in verses 2 to 6, we are able to see unity, how the whole church must be united. And then, in the aspect of service, complement one another, support one another, cooperate with one another in service. Let's see, verses 7 to 12. Verses 7 to 12. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captive, and he gave gift to men. So here, in verse 7, verse 8, verse 7, verse 8, we are able to see, to each one of us is given a gift according to the measure of Christ. And then verse 8 tells us, he led captive a host of captive. We are those who are the captive of the devil in sin. But now, we become the captive of Christ. So he led captive a host of captive. And what happened? He gave gift to men. So the Lord gave everyone different gift. Let's see verse 11. He gave some as apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. And then, it is for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Therefore, the church, we must understand concerning all this matter, complement one another, support one another, cooperate with one another. Each one have different gift, but let us make use the gift to build up the body of Christ. And then, speak about maturity. Verses 13 to 16. Until we all attain to the unity of the faith. And then here say, to a matured man. Verse 14, no longer be children, tossed here and there. And then, verse 15, speak the truth in love, that we are to grow up in all aspects to him who is the head, even Christ must grow. And then, verse 16, from whom the whole body being fitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So building up, building up. Therefore, we can see this part, verses 13 to 16, speak about how must mature, grow, maturity. And then, don't be like children. And then verse 15 say, grow up. Then verse 16, building up. Also how the church must grow to maturity. And then chapter 6, verse 10 to 17. Chapter 6, verses 10 to 17. Everyone become Christian soldiers. Put on the armor of God. Everyone become Christian soldiers. Put on the armor of God. And then verses 18 to 20. Verses 18 to 20. Everyone become an evangelist to preach the gospel of Christ. So here we can see, Paul give instruction to the church, how the church submit to Christ, how the church must be united, how the church understanding service, complement one another, support one another, cooperate with one another, how the church is called upon to maturity, to grow to maturity, and then everyone become Christian soldiers, putting on the armor of God, and then do the work of evangelism. Therefore, here we are able to see Paul tell us how to have a walk worthy of the calling, worthy of the gospel, worthy of the Lord, worthy of God. This has got to do with our conduct, the practice of the Christian. The church is made up of individual and family. If everyone have a walk worthy of the calling, the church will become a glorious church. So here, there's instruction for individual, for family, for our life in society, and our life in the church. But very important, where do we get a motivation? The motivation to have a walk worthy of the calling. Let's see 2 points here. How? How to have a walk worthy of the calling? What is the motivation? Okay, let us see the prayer of Paul, chapter 1, verse 5 to 19. chapter 1, verse 15 to 19. Chapter 1, verse 15 to 19. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayer. So, Paul was praying. What did he pray for? Verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you'll be able to know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Verse 19. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? This in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Therefore, Paul was praying for three things. That our eyes, spiritual eyes of the heart, open to see what? The hope of the calling. The glorious inheritance to receive. And the power of the Spirit working in us. So this becomes motivation. How will a person change? How will a person have a walk worthy of calling? So they must be motivated. Unless they can see the hope of the calling, they won't do anything. Unless they can see the glorious inheritance which are received, they will not do nothing. And then, unless they know the power want to work in us, they will not do anything. So this is the motivation. Let's see another one. Chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. Chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derive his name, that he will grant to you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you also being rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So here Paul was speaking concerning three very important things. The motivation, through the work of Holy Spirit, through the word, and very important, through the love of Jesus that fills us. This becomes the motivation. How can a person have a walk worthy of the calling? So the Holy Spirit working in us, and then through the word, and through us being filled with the love of Jesus, then only we will do something. So this is very important. How to have a walk worthy of the calling? That our eyes will be open, we can see what the hope of the calling, the glorious inheritance that we will receive, the power working in us, and then how the Holy Spirit working in us through the word, through love. Then the person will be motivated. He will try his best to have a walk worthy of the calling. Therefore, we give thanks to the Lord. Today, we should have a walk worthy of the calling. The church will become glorious. Every individual, every family to pursue. Let's sing him. 212. 212.
Jesus, be so shy with a clear pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine. You in your small corner and I in mine. Jesus, be so shine first of all for him. Well, he sees and knows it even like his dream. He longs now from heaven, see a shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. Jesus be so shine, and for all the world, many kinds of darkness in this world above. Sin and woe and sorrow, we must shine. You in your small corner, and I in mine. Jesus be so shine as we work for him, bringing those that wander from the path of sin. He will never help us if we shine. You in your small corner and I in mine.
We give thanks to the Lord. We shall pray. May the Lord guide lead and to bless each and everyone. In the name of Jesus, we kneel down to pray.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
We give thanks to our Lord. Our Sabbath worship ends here. Peace be to all. Amen.